Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The crisis with Indian Health Services spans decades. Recent developments, such as the closure of Rosebud's only emergency room, have added to the despair. Tim Purdon is an attorney with Robbins Kaplan LLP. The firm has filed a pro bono lawsuit against IHS on behalf of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. I sat down with Purdon to talk about the complaint and whether litigation can really offer hope in desperate times. Let's start with the lawsuit itself. Fill me in on the basics of the lawsuit in a way that I can understand.
Yeah, so have you seen the complaint?
I have. I have been reading it this morning.
Yes, okay. So the lawsuit that we filed on behalf of the Rosebud Tribe really alleges four causes of action. We are essentially saying that by closing the emergency room at the Rosebud IHS hospital, that IHS has violated federal statute. There are certain statutory requirements that have to be complied with before you can close any IHS facility, and our contention is that they violated that. We're also alleging that closing the emergency room violates fiduciary trust responsibilities that the federal government owes to the Rosebud Tribe. Those trust responsibilities come from treaties, from federal statutes, from the federal common law. I mean, everyone agrees that the federal government owes a fiduciary trust responsibility to tribes, and one of those things they're responsible for is health care. And then the third type of claim we have is we're also claiming that the closing of the hospital also violates the rights of tribal members under the Equal Protection and Due Process Clauses of the United States Constitution.
So everyone I have spoken to about IHS and the care that is provided says it's been broken for a very long time. So why this lawsuit? Why now? What's different?
Right. So the reason that we filed this lawsuit is that the executive branch of the United States government, IHS, Human Services, they have not been able to solve this problem for a long, long time. And in fact, this problem's gotten worse, the problem being lack of adequate health care on the reservation. And it's gotten worse in that now the emergency room is closed. And so people in need of emergency treatment from Rosebud are facing, 55-mile ambulance rides to Winter or Valentine, and this is unacceptable, right? The executive branch has not been able to solve this problem. So this lawsuit is the tribe's attempt to go to another branch of government, the judicial branch, and say to the federal court system, this is broken, and it's not acceptable, and asking the federal court through an injunction to exert some control over this situation and try and help solve this, something the executive branch has been unable to do.
There's certainly a disconnect, as you lay out in the paperwork I've been reading, from you go back centuries with what the federal government has agreed to do and include information about the Affordable Care Act. So the promises continue to be made, and then there's a disconnect. What's the underlying philosophy that's causing that disconnect? Do you have any idea?
As a country, as a country, we have not adequately funded the necessary institutions to provide health care for the Rosebud people. I mean, that's the problem. And the executive branch hasn't been able to solve that. Congress hasn't been able to solve it. So here we are. We have to go to that third branch of government, the federal courts, and ask them to step in. If in our system of government, when checks and balances, when one of the branches of government are unable to fulfill their duties, then another branch has to step in and try and exercise some control. And that's the purpose of our lawsuit.
Have there been other lawsuits similar to this in other states or in this state?
Obviously the problems with IHS and the funding across the Great Plains region. I mean, there have been a series of congressional hearings on this. This is not a new discovery. But what is particularly concerning here is the closing of the emergency room and the terrible situation that creates for the vulnerable rural population at Rosebud.
What kind of stories are you hearing from the people affected by this crisis? Are they telling you?
Yeah, I mean, you can look in the complaint and see the history here. I'm not sure that I want to get into a bunch of individual stories of individual things that we've seen happen. I know that the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Association wrote to Senator Barrasso, the chair of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, and said that, people have died in the ambulance. The tribes are telling us, their leaders are telling us that the status quo no emergency room and a 55-mile drive in an ambulance, that is not an acceptable status quo. And we've been in this situation since December. So something has to be done. The status quo can't continue.
What's the best case scenario for you for a lawsuit like this?
Well, we're hoping that the federal court will determine that the various duties that we've identified have been violated. We're seeking a declaratory judgment on that to say that those duties have been violated, and then we're seeking an injunction, the court ordering IHS to get the emergency room open, to get the standard of care there up to a level that's acceptable in modern society.
Is there anything that they could do right now while this lawsuit goes through that would make you change your mind about how you proceed, or do you just proceed now at this point with the information that you have?
Well, I mean, you know, hopefully providing care to the people at Rosebud by the executive branch shouldn't be about this lawsuit. It should be about the government doing the right thing and making sure that these citizens have the services that the trust responsibility of the government guarantees them, and that's what it should be about. And you know, I'm hopeful that people in IHS are working towards that goal. That should be everyone's goal.
What kind of precedent would it set? Success through legal action such as this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm that's not something that I've really thought about. I mean, you know, we the tribe came to us. We got connected with the tribe on this. My law firm is actually handling this case pro bono, and so. You know, we're looking at trying to help this group of clients, this tribe, with this problem. And that's, you know, as lawyers, what we do, try and solve problems one by one. You know, when the tribe came to us with this case and we started considering, would we take this on, would we do this pro bono, I mean, we didn't hesitate. I mean, this is an opportunity for lawyers to really get involved in a case, do the right thing, and make a difference.
So tell me more about the American Indian Law and Policy Group, which is something that you founded, am I correct?
Yeah, so I served as United States Attorney for the state of North Dakota for 5 years, from 2010 to 2015, and one of my close friends was the U.S. Attorney in South Dakota, Brendan Johnson, who also served at that same time. And about a year ago, Brendan and I left the Department of Justice, and we joined Robbins Kaplan, a national law firm with their headquarter office in Minneapolis, and we've opened offices for them in Bismarck, North Dakota, and in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And one of the things Brendan and I wanted to do after working, you know, really hard for 5 years to try and improve the quality of life on the reservations in North Dakota and South Dakota and nationally, we wanted to continue that work. And so we founded the American Indian Law and Policy Group at Robbins Kaplan about 10 months ago. And one of the things we've been doing is representing tribes, obviously, but also looking for the opportunity to take on impactful pro bono cases like this one for the Rosebud Tribe. I mean, the Rosebud Tribe is not a wealthy tribe. They can't afford the sort of legal representation that some other tribes can and other entities can. And so, you know, we're humbled and honored to be able to be involved in this and try and make a difference for this tribe.
Tell me a little bit how pro bono works then. They pay your salary while you do this work and the tribe isn't charged? Or give me the details of pro bono.
Yeah, so pro bono means that we've taken on this case for the tribe free of charge. The tribe's not going to pay legal fees. And, you know, we're obviously working, you know, Brendan and I are working on a number of different projects. This is one of the cases we have in litigation. And in this one, we're representing the tribe free of charge.
Tell me about some of your successes and maybe some obstacles that you have not been able to overcome yet legally.
In this case specifically, or what do you mean?
Just in general with, you know, your work as a U.S. attorney in North Dakota and your sort of dedication to, you know, helping tribes in other litigation.
Yeah,
tell me some of those successes.
Right. And, you know, in the under President Obama and in the Holder Justice Department, I mean, improving public safety on the reservations was a top priority. And both Brendan and I were lucky enough to be able to be involved in that in those efforts in our states and nationally. We both chaired at different times the Attorney General Holder's Native American Issues Subcommittee. And across the country, I think that folks in Indian country would tell you that the Holder Justice Department will go down as one of the most impactful in terms of stepping up government-to-government consultations with tribes and then executing and bringing more resources to attack some of the criminal justice, the heavy crime problems on many of our reservations. Now, we didn't solve those problems. I mean, those problems are decades and centuries in the making, but we took some positive first steps over the last 6 years to address those issues, and progress has been made. You know, those for us were really the most rewarding times as U.S. attorney, and that's why we wanted to, in private practice with Robbins Kaplan, be able to continue that fight. I mean, obviously, this case doesn't involve public safety. It involves medical care. But again, it's about trying to improve the quality of life on the reservations.
So everyone else I talk to, you know, we talk about this issue. It's very emotional. You seem to be coming at it from a very intellectual standpoint. Does this bring forth emotions for you, or is it purely a legal fight?
No. I mean, you know, for me, this all started 20 years ago when I was a law clerk in federal court in Bismarck, and I visited a reservation for the first time. I went to Cannonball, North Dakota, with one of the probation officers from the federal court system, and I'd never been on an Indian reservation before, and I had never seen people living in that sort of poverty. And I said to myself as a young lawyer, I mean, how is it possible in the 20th century at the time in the United States of America, you have people living in hopelessness and poverty and isolation like that? And you know, I was, that's what put me on the path to want to be U.S. attorney someday and try and make a difference in these communities. For me, when you talk about the emotion of this, in the summer of 2014, I went back to Cannonball, and President Barack Obama was there in Cannonball, only the third sitting president to ever visit a reservation community. And I stood in the powwow grounds, the Bowery of the Flag Day powwow at Cannonball, with 88 flags surrounding the powwow grounds, each one of them from the casket of a Native American veteran. And I listened to President Obama talk about trying to make things better on the reservations, and I saw him struggle to be heard over the flapping of those flags in a very stiff North Dakota June breeze, and it was an incredibly emotional experience for me, very formative, and has what has inspired me, really, to try and continue this fight for Native people. All that being said, though, I mean, this is not about me. This is about the Rosebud Sioux tribe and their right to the right of a young person at Rosebud to be able to grow up with access to, you know, basic health care, to have the support that if they work hard and do by the rule and play by the rules, that they can reach their potential. And so many of our reservation communities, that fundamental right to work hard and rise in society is missing because of public safety problems, because of healthcare problems. And so this is an ongoing challenge, and it's just one that you know, we're very committed to at Robbins, Kaplan, and Brendan and I personally.
What happens next with the lawsuit? What do we look for and watch for?
Well, the government will respond to our complaint. They can file an answer. They can file a motion to dismiss. And so they've got, you know, I think 60 days to respond. So we will see what their response is. But the ball's in their court at this point.
Tim Purdon is with Robbins Kaplan LLP. The law firm has filed a pro bono lawsuit against Indian Health Services on behalf of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe.